quick, few-second introduction. There's a guy in my block, Neve Daniel, who learned English. Very nice guy, real Ben Gor, good guy. And he always points out that my father used to always say, Rav Lichtenstein seems the God Ladar in Lundis, and Rav Adari is the God Ladar in Machshava. He had a tremendous sense of depth and ideas and makoros and knowledge. And he was part of like the pre-Neo-Hasidisha movement. He was part of the world that brought back serious Machshava, Hachad Yitzchak, and Mechtav Melio, and understanding not Kabbalah, but not classic Torah HaNigla, something in between, like depth of Machshava. So I thought it'd be an appropriate gesture to teach a little bit of Mechtav Melio. This is probably the most famous piece of Mechtav Melio. He's got a lot more than what we're going to read. He's got a lot more to be said about it, but I figured if we open up the first piece, that would be an appropriate gesture. Let's start off with the first piece momentarily. I'll first start off with two major questions that this piece answers. Major hashkafic problems that people have that can be answered by this Mechtav Melio. Question number one. This is a question probably many people ask. It doesn't seem to be fair that if one person was born into a family of Gedolei Yisrael and one person was born into a family of thugs and Mechalei Shabbos and thieves and robbers, and that was just like the lowest of the low. It's not surprising that one person's going to rise spiritually more and one person's going to not hit the same madrigas. So question number one is, how does a Kaddish Baruch Hu judge? How is that fair? When you walk into Olam Haba, are you going to see Tzaddikim at the bottom and perhaps Mechalei Shabbos up top because they were born into families of Mechalei Shabbos? And could that be? On the other hand, how not? Question number one. Question number two. You can go to these debates on YouTube. Many of the prominent atheists, Sam Harris comes to mind, believe we don't have free choice. Believe we have no free choice at all, even though atheists. But many people also. There's a major debate amongst even like psychologists today if we have free choice or not. The people out there called determinists who believe we have no free choice. The people out there who disagree, I forgot the official terminology for them, believe we have free choice. Why would someone believe we have no choice? It certainly feels like we have free choice. So the argument would probably be every decision you make is based upon nature and nurture, correct? So at the end of the day, it's not you, it's just nature and nurture. Or to be said differently, if you had lived the exact same life again, would you make the exact same decisions or would you make different decisions? Probably the same ones, no? That means you have no free choice. If everything can be predicted 100%, you're living as a puppet. You're not really doing anything independently. That question should be answered by the Mechtav Melio as well. Those two questions, which I think are both worthwhile questions to ask, I think are addressed by this famous, famous piece in Rav Zessler that will start momentarily. Take a look in the piece. This is called the Nekudas HaBechira. You may have heard of it. Again, it's probably Rav Zessler's most famous piece. That's why I chose it. He said, Kishishnei Amim Nilchamim. When two nations go to war, Hinei HaMilchama Hi B'Makom Ma'achrata. The war takes place at the line that divides them. It's not like, think of certainly war before, 200 years ago, where you had think of the American Revolutionary War or something like that. Maybe not you. But the American Uprising, what do you call it?
We don't call it anything.
Right. So, on the one hand, the American soldiers come this way, the British soldiers, they'll stand with guns, whoever wins moves forward, and the other team moves back. That's how wars were fought. And if you think of like all the crazy movies you thought about, growing up in high school, you have a bunch of some guy getting up, pumping them all up with their swords and shields, and they kind of run out, try to stab and cut the other guy in half. And you see the movies like heads get cut off and, that type of gruesome. That's where the line was. Kol ma sha'acho reitzava ha'am ha'echad hu kulo tachas v'shuso. everything on my side is all in my jurisdiction. The line of battle is exactly the tightest. Everything behind is under my control. The Ein lo shem shum nigud klam. So if Tripp and I are going to war, you put the 50 yard line or whatever the line is right in between. Everything on this side behind, everything tripping behind, is totally safe because Tripp's front line is covering it. My front line, everything is behind. Im ha'echad yinatzeach b'pam b'krav b'yitchet ha'sheni marchagma. If I win a little bit in battle, like kravi, like in the army, I push you back a little bit. Azi b'hitchadesh ha'kravi yeh b'malkum shi'am b'shinayim az. If I win a little bit and I take advantage, I push him back. So now the battle line is the same thing, just 10 feet that way. And everything behind him is protected, behind me protected. Az b'hitchadesh ha'kravi yeh b'malkum shi'am b'shinayim az. And this line over here is no longer the point of battle, rather, it's totally under my control. And the point of battle is only where we're actually fighting. That's the famous Marshal. Here comes the Nimshal. Kain hu gam b'inyan habachira. So too free choice. Kol Adam Yeshlo Bechira. Everyone has free choice. Hainu. And that Hainu is going to be critical. Because here comes a major limitation to our free choice, a greater of that. Hainu, Benekuda, Pigishat Haemet Shalom, Im Haemet Hamidumeh, Toldot Hashaker. My spiritual Nekudas Habachira is where my emes fights my shaker. Meaning, Aval Ru. Hang on, I want you to. Here's where the Chiddush is. Aval rov ma'asav heim b'malkum she'en ha'emetz v'ashaker nefgashim shom klal. Most of my actions are out of routine, not my actual fight to grow spiritually. Or in other words, and we'll develop this momentarily, the overwhelming majority of my actions are without free choice. I only have free choice at the malkum hakrav. I woke up this morning and put on my tefillin. I had no free choice to do so. It's nature and nurture. I was hitragel. I was accustomed to doing so. I internalized those actions. The fact that I'm teaching you guys Torah here, probably not much free choice. It's just natural. Simultaneously, lara. At least you find the ready in the tzadok. If I speak Russian hard, there's a good chance that's not a free choice either. I've already litragela that to me. I've become too accustomed to speaking Lashon Hara. I don't have free choice over that. The only place I actually have free choice is where I'm struggling with my Yetzer Hara, Emes and Sheker. That's why I have Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Just like the Milchama. I've conquered, like, I walk by McDonald's. I have no Yetzer Hara to go in. I don't go in. That's not a mitzvah. I get no schar for that. I walk by, who knows what, I hear people, I'm supposed to give a shiur and I can focus on Kulo al Torah, or I can focus on me giving a good shiur and saying, wow, we're going to give a good shiur, which frankly is Yetzer Hara that I do have. Gaiva. That is already my challenge. Ki yesh harbei min ha'emes sha'ada michunach la'soso. A lot of things that are correct, you're michunach kacha. That's the way you were raised. That's what you do. You just do what's right because it's right. You were raised that way. Velo yala al dato klala sosa hefek. I remember one time I had a good friend named Steve Knack. If anyone knows, he's the principal of Hillel, sometimes in Westchester, lives in Teaneck. So I remember he and I went to Russia to run the Seder, and we were debating this particular point, and I said to him, I dare you right now, Anyantim, go turn on the light. Because I'm not going to do it, because you don't have free choice. Because I do have free choice to do it. I go, no, you don't. I go, prove it to me. Because I won't prove it. I go, why not? He goes, because I feel committed. And we pointed out there's a difference between physical free choice, which he certainly had, versus emotional free choice, which he restricted himself from doing. Physical free choice is really, if you think about it religiously, meaning in terms of science, it's very valuable, but in terms of religiously, do you deserve schar for having physical free choice? I could physically kill you right now, but I'm not. I don't carry a gun. I could punch you in the face right now, but I'm not. Like, I don't deserve schar for being civilized. I don't deserve schar for that. Every second you're not punching someone in the face, you think you deserve schar? you and I have a different line of scrimmage over here. V'lo yala al dato klala sol hafuch. V'chein harbe asher yasemin harava sheker. Shelo yivchar klal she'ein roi lasoso. You didn't choose to do bad. That's a fascinating thing, by the way. Because you might, as we'll see soon, you don't get schar for all your mitzvahs, and you don't get an onesh for all your averos. Not everyone agrees to that. Ein habechira shayachet ela b'nekuda shebein tzva'o shal hayitzahara l'tzva'o shal hayitzar tov v'yitzahara. The only real war is that exact line. Just like Tripp and I were at war, so to the Yitzhar versus Yitzhar Tov. That is the line of battle, period, end of story. Harbei nechshalim tamid b'lashon hara. I forgot he mentioned that as an example. I used it myself. Mepnei shehur galubo v'lo yala al daitam klal ki rahu. Just kind of flows. V'osam an Hashim atzmam lo yavo lefnei m'yetzah hara lahatzil lehem machshevis kilo Shabbos. Bittul tefillah. Since it's Vitzvil Nechdome. I know many from people who speak Lashon Hara all day long, they would never think of being Mechal Shabbos, not put on Tzitzis, Tefillah. Vani Mishom, Shabbos, Shabbos, Vitzvil Nechdome. Nischanchu v'hurgalu kol kach ad she'en k'nisat sham l'yetzahara. I think he mentions a little bit later on. Maybe I'll see it in this paragraph, maybe I'll see it a little bit later on. But he points out, do you deserve credit for being Shomer Shabbos, or do your parents deserve credit? Or frankly, their parents. Or whoever the first person was who had a real challenge, that they deserve credit, not you. You don't. Questions, comments, thoughts? Otherwise, move to the third paragraph and point to how it answers your two questions. One, two, one.
So, according to this, a person could. You said that you don't get an avera or a mitzvah for things that you're accustomed to doing.
No, you get a mitzvah, you get an avera, you just don't have free choice for that. That's what he's developed so far. I'm jumping the gun because I know what he's going to say a little later on.
So,
there's three things. Number one, is it a ma'isa mitzvah? The answer is absolutely, it's a ma'isa mitzvah for existence. Number two, is do you have free choice for that ma'isa mitzvah? There are others, not Rav Dessler, who believe you do have free choice. It's called physical free choice, what my friend Steve Knapp was talking about. Rabbi Steve Knapp. Halachic nafkamina? Not sure, but halachic, not sure, but we'll get
tashkar.
One, maybe schar. Yeah. I think Rav Dessler believes, and we'll see in a little bit, Rav Dessler, I think, believes you don't get schar for putting on tefillin if it was totally natural.
Based on the muscle.
Now, you could get schar, and maybe that's a little bit depressing. So number one is, don't be discouraged. If you don't put on tefillin one day, you may lose schar. So that should be a motivating factor. You can get onesh in hand, who knows what. But the real answer is going to be, do tefillin even better tomorrow than you did today. That's where you get your schar. Fight to focus on the right thoughts. Fight to make it meaningful. Fight to realize God told you to put on tefillin. Fight to grow religiously. But the three steps again. One is it a ma'aseh mitzvah? Pashut. That's not a halachic conversation. It's not sure. Machshava hashkafa. Number two, is there physical free choice? Yeah, but you might not, you'll get scarf now. I'm sorry. He seems to focus on the bechira he's talking about, the bechira of spiritual bechira. And the point that I'm jumping the gun for is that you get schar and onesh in Olam Haba for how hard you fight, not for what you do. I'm going to finish your question, get to yours, and wrap it up. But just one more thing. I should point out this subject is a major machlokes. There's a lot to be said about this. I got to get back to two of your questions. But do you get schar for physical action? Like, what do you get schar for in the Torah? How does God determine how schar is allocated? So you find already in the Mishnah tension. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, you get schar. Don't think about how much schar you're going to get. She'iyah ta'yodeya ma'an schar shal mitzvah. Have a mitzvah kala kivachumra. Why? She'iyah ta'yodeya ma'an schar shal mitzvah. What's the implication? Correct. You don't know which is more important and which is less important. You don't know which has more schar and less schar. You don't know which has more halachic way and which one doesn't. But there is. In other words, there is kalas and chumras. You just don't know. The other Mishnah says, "Lefum tzara agra," which in terms implies that how much schar do you get? As much as how hard you try. Those are the two variables. It explains another fascinating machlokas harishonim in Kedushin. The Mishnah, the Gemara in Kedushin tells a story on Daf Lamed Lamed Aleph about Gadol Mitzvah Vosa, Mishena Mitzvah Vosa. Do you know the story? Rav Yosef was blind, and he says, "I want to make a party for the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan hold what?" I want to make a party for the rabbis because they pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a blind person is potter from mitzvahs, and I've been doing them all my life. And they corrected, keep on making a party, but you got everything wrong. A, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. A blind person is chayiv in mitzvahs, but you get more schar for that because that's the principle of Gadol mitzvah va'osa, mimishena mitzvah va'osa. Now, frankly, Rav Yosef's have, I mean, it makes so much sense intuitively to most of us. What's the svar for the maskan? So there are three shitas I'll share with you. Shitas hatosfos is... That's the ritva. Shitas hatosfos in Maseches Kedushin, right there on Daf Lamed Lamed Aleph is... When you are obligated, you feel a sense of pressure to make sure you get it done. You got to get the check in the box. I got to do it this way, I got to do it that way, etc., etc. There's like an emotional package to it. You get scarred for that. I've never understood that Tosfos or felt it until my first time I went to Chutz Lartz for Pesach, and I sat at the second Seder and didn't drink the shiurim properly and didn't eat the shiurim of matzah. I was like the conservative uncle, you know what I mean? I didn't drive home halfway through, but I was like, you know, my brother-in-law was like putting all the shear in his mouth, shear matzah. I was sitting there like, okay, great, you know, I got as much matzah as I want, you know? Like I felt like during Hallel, it was like, you know, and I really enjoyed it more. So all that mental anguish of making sure I'm yotze this and yotze that, that's what he says about it. The Ritva then offers another sheet. The Ritva says, so important to the moment, Yishai, Dash, the more you fight the Yetzirah, the greater the reward is. When subject subconsciously, is there a greater fight? The answer is what? When you're commanding. The marshal used to tell us in high school, if your mother says clean your room, you don't want to. Your room's a mess, you choose to. The more you're told to do something, the less you don't want to do it anymore. So there's a greater yitzhar. Then there's the last answer to the ritual, which I thought was so unbelievably geschmack.
It's the will of God.
What?
That's the will of God.
Yeah. The ritva says HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you to do things that he really cares about. And the best proof to that is that he commanded it to you. The things that he thinks are nice but are not as important, he made optional. And the best proof is that he made them optional. If I would say, Yishai, go get me a glass of water, you come back with water and ice, that's even better. If you come back with ice without the water, I'll feel like you didn't do what I wanted. You did your own thing, fine. But that's why Gadol Mitzvah Vos, Mishena Mitzvah Vos. The difference between day is 1 and 2, Tosfos in the first day of the Ritva versus the second day of the Ritva is Gufar question. Do you get Schar for hard work, anguish over being Yotze, battling your Yetzirah? That's the first day of Tosfos in the first day of the Ritva, while the second day of the Ritva is no. Things have inherent value. Certain mitzvahs are more valuable than the other. The more valuable the mitzvah, the more. Same type of thing. You find that anytime you see people don't have schar, which way would Rav Dessler say? Where do you get more schar? He's like an extreme. It's only based upon, but why? Why is it so much schar? Why do you get schar according to Rav Dessler?
That's where your life is.
Boom, Sarah Agra, because that's where your bechira was. The more you struggle, the more schar there is. Let's read the third paragraph, and then we'll go back to it. I threw a few ideas along the way, but we should have ideas along the way. Amnam, the kudazu shel bechira ena omedes tamen al matzav echad. It doesn't always. The Nakudas Habachira doesn't always stay in the same place. Keep a Bachira's Hatobos Adam Ola Lamala. In other words, if I be tripping, move 10 feet that way, my spiritual Nakudas Habachira goes up. Nichnasim Lo Shos Ayetra Tov. Vaaz Hamaisim Hatovim Shiosif Lazos Bemiyeb Belisha Melchama Ubachira Klav. The more I start doing better, the more it becomes innate to who I am. I develop a more perfect religious personality with less of a struggle. That's the goal. According to Rav Dessler, the goal is to develop religious personality where it's almost natural. And then he has a fascinating line, "V'zehu mitzvah go reres mitzvah." which is not pasha. If you wanted to give a chaburam, what is mitzvah goreres mitzvah, you probably have a few different shitas. This is one of them. Now, I want to share with you another fascinating point, which is really, really enough of a deviation, but worthwhile to mention. Fascinating point. There's a machlokas harishonim will have taiva and yetzer hara in olam haba. In Yimus HaMashiach, pardon me. Yimus HaMashiach. According to the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bechaya, we will not. The Ramban writes in Sefer Devarim Perek Lamed, he says on the Pasuk, Umol Hashem es levavcha ves levav zarecha, that the Torah tells you, I'll do mila to your heart. Umol Hashem, I'll do mila to your heart. What is mila to one's heart? What is mila? Getting away the bad part. What's the bad part of one's heart? Yetzirah. Says the Ramban, in the Olam in the times of Mashiach, we'll have no Yetzirah, we'll have no drive for it. We will return to the way we were before Adam ate from the original Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. We'll be beings of Emes and Sheker and not beings of?
Tov V'Ra.
I'm sorry? Not Tov V'Ra. Fascinating. From the Rambam, you don't get that impression. The Rambam sounds like things will be clear, but you'll still have the same emotional makeup. According to the Rabbeinu Bechaya, both are right, whatever. According to the Ramban, it sounds like, and it sounds crazy, but free choice is a lechadchila b'di'evet. Sounds like it's b'di'evet. It sounds like, ideally, the way God created us, and what we'll ultimately return to, is doing what's right because it's right, a more angelic existence. The Malbim says that b'feirish, it goes according to the Ramban, right there in Perek Lamed, Sefer Devarim. The Malbim says, according to the Ramban, why in the world would you, you know, why does God, why do we have free choice and struggles now? That's really good, isn't it? Right? It is really good, but it's even better to just do what's right. God values that more. And others disagree. For example, the Meshech Chachma, let me face it this way, according to the Ramban, according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, when did we get free choice? When does mankind begin to have free choice? Adam HaRishon, at the time where Adam sinned, the Yetzirah kind of went within us. According to the Meshech Chachma, when did we have free choice? When God created us. That's what Tzelem Elokim is. Whole nother conversation. What is Tzelem Elokim? Not my topic, but worthwhile. Hashkafik Chabura to think about. Like, Torah thinks it's important. What is Tzelem Elokim? According to the Meshech Chachma, free choice. Sounds like that's Lechadchila. Fascinating machlokes. It's free choice lechadchila or not. According to Rav Dessler, not only is there value in the struggle, but the reason why there's value is because it becomes inculcated into your religious personality. You lose that sense of struggle and you go religiously elevating higher and higher. You become more and more spiritual, ironically with less and less free choice. That's mitzvah gorer's mitzvah. Then he says, v'chein lehefach. Habachiros haraos migar shos hayetzer tov mim goma. You get rid of the yetzer tov. Because she yosef lasos min araha hu ya'ah. Sana v'li b'chira. You start off sinning and sinning and sinning, eventually it becomes natural. There's a fascinating Gemara, Maseches Kedushin, that says the first time you sin, you know it's a sin. The second time you think it's mutter, the third time you call it a mitzvah. Psychological control we have over ourselves to brainwash ourselves. But that's what he's referring to. Trip got backed up. He no longer is at this makom over here. He spiritually declined. And therefore, he no longer even realizes it. That's what Chazal say. Avera goveres avera. V'chein kevin shavar adam avera v'shanaba. Puchvalo. I quoted the Gemara in Kedushin, which has the same Yisod. This Gemara in Yoma is even better. Once you start doing an Avera Hutrilo, and we all think it's Mutter. Rav Dessler points out that you don't always have free choice, you only sometimes have free choice, and only when it's at a particular point of free choice, or the Nekudas HaBechira. How much time do I go until, by the way? This understanding, you can answer two major questions that we opened up with. We wanted to know, does a person have free choice? We wanted to know, how is it fair that a person born to a family of Rishayim struggles religiously with a person born to Tzaddikim can have an easier time? I'll answer the second question first. According to Rav Dessler, you may walk into Olam Haba, and the Gedolei Hadar will be at the bottom, and some Machal Shabbos will be up top. Sounds shocking, but it's actually Gemara that says that. Remember Basra Daf Yud? One of the Amoraim says, Abba, I had a dream of Olam Haba, and it was Olam Hafachu. Everything was upside down. And his father says, no, my son, what you saw was Olam Emesu. Now Rashi on that Gemara explains, people who were succeeded in this world, who were popular, who were wealthy, who were, had a good reputation, who had a strong family, they were at the bottom. And the people who were frumer, who you know spent more time, focusing on Avodas Hashem, they were at the top. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that maybe the Pshat, they made a different Pshat. Rav Moshe says it could be the people who look like the Rishoyim are up top because on their own specific scale, they succeeded. While someone who was born into a religious family did not, Lamasha. If you're born onto scale rung 500 because of your family, and you climb up to 515, or you drop to 495, you're judged based upon how high you go and how low you go. Masha Enkane, a person who's born on rung 5, makes it up to level 110. He's way above the first person. The answer is, God cares more about who you are in contrast to your potential, how hard you fought and how much you've succeeded, and less about the particular rung on the ladder you've achieved. It's tough for us to internalize that. Kadosh Baruch Hu would rather have you try your best and be an Amoritz than try medium and come to Gadol Hadar. You can hear it, but it's tough to swallow. It's tough to remind ourselves of that. It's just so much easier to compare ourselves to everyone around. But that's point number one. The other point is, do we really have free choice? We pointed out, if I would live the exact same life again, wouldn't I make all the exact same decisions? Aren't I no more than just nature and nurture? Do I not make my decisions based upon nature and nurture? Is there any freedom to decide above and beyond nature and nurture? Says Rav Dessler, 95% of the time, no. Rub of the time, no. Not always, most of the time, no. You're right. You can't always make your own decisions. We are bound by the lack of free choice that I challenged my friend Rabbi Stephen Knapp to do. I told him, go turn on the light on Shabbos. He said, I can't do it. I guess because you don't have free choice. The answer is, we don't fully have free choice. We believe we have free choice in the areas where that line of scrimmage, the Ma'arechet HaMilchama, the Nekudas HaBechira. You shouldn't feel bad if you put on tefillin every day and you became part of it, became part of you, because that's what God wants. God wants tefillin to become so much inculcated into your religious personality, to who you are. Every once in a while, I recruit for the yeshiva. You guys remember, I recruited you all. Yep. Not you. Almost everyone. And every once in a while, I get the question, is the old city, I don't want the old city to become jaded. You know, I don't want the old city to not be fresh in my eyes. I'm nervous that the Kotel will become another place, etc. And I tell most people, could be I told you this, in terms of hischatshus, you lose a little bit. In terms of building it as part of your religious ideology, the Kotel, the old city, the Kotel, Makom HaMikdash, Har HaBayis, Yir HaAtikah, it's not just a place I go to, it's part of who I am. I do get excited when I make the turn and go down Friday night when we start dancing. I don't get excited when I walk by the window. But it became who I am. the goal of mitzvot. And that's what mitzvah gorer's mitzvah is. Maybe less about tzchar and more about cultivating, developing a religious personality rooted in mitzvahs. That's what tefillin's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. If that's the case, coming full circle, am I a product of nature and nurture? The answer is absolutely, just not completely. Most surprisingly, yes. Even most. But not all. But even most. Most of my actions are just the way I was raised. But I have a little bit of individuality. And that's what I'm getting judged on. That's my free choice. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu is. I'm wrapping up anyway. I got a few more minutes. Let's start.
No.
That's we have our free choice. And therefore, to answer Sam Harris or anyone else in the world who believes we have no free choice because we're products of nature and nurture, my response is more sophisticated than just, I have free choice because I feel like I do. Although there's a lot of truth to that. If you had to ask someone, everyone wants to know, how do you know I have free choice? What's the proof? So the three basic arguments I can think of that Torah subscribes to free choice. There are those who reject free choice. The Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer thinks we have no free choice. Fascinating. Most Jewish thinkers think we do. Who was telling me, a frony one time says, the Red Zinner's late. Oh, the Red Zinner's late. But to his own defense, he doesn't think he has free choice. And if you don't like him, he'll just respond, he didn't decide to choose that. In any event, the Ishbitzer, many times he writes, Hakol bidei shamayim afilu yirah shamayim, or something like that. He's got that line, no one has free choice. Most Jewish thinkers believe we have free choice. Rav Dessler spells it out very well. It's not that you have no choice. You don't think you always have free choice, because that denies nature and nurture. On the other hand, it feels like, how do we know our free choice? Three things. Number one, it feels like we have free choice. Common sense. We really believe that. And that may be the most convincing thing. Most of us believe we have free choice probably because it just feels like I do. You try to touch the safer, you're successful. I'd have looked awfully foolish in front of all you guys trying to touch the safer and just like being unable because I had no free choice. Argument number two for free choice. Sukkim seem to indicate that we have free choice. Torah says, do this, don't do that, behave this way, don't behave that way. Indicating again we have free choice. Argument number three, we have free choice, is Schar V'Onesh. It doesn't seem justified that God will punish you or reward you if you had no free choice. And Rav Dessler's point, he didn't say in the piece, but he's got a few more pieces here that, I'll look at one or two R's to make along the way, is that you do have free choice, but only sometimes. And that's when you get rewarded and punishment, and that's why the world is fair, and that's why Olam HaEmes, people can be up top and on bottom, and that's why things are fair. And in terms of do we have free choice, the answer is most of the time. I think this is a fascinating insight. One more small debunking or argument against the Sam Harris argument. People who believe we have no free choice often argue all you are is nature and nurture, and frankly, all you are a bunch of molecules. All you are is like chemistry. If you think about it, and this is like certainly suggested by the atheists, but if you believe we have all we are, if all we are is just like a bunch of science, like we have no free choice, we have no independence. So the major question they all struggle with is, what is conscience? I just translate, anyone who thinks we have no soul, just tell them, what is conscience? Conscience is the Jewish word for soul. Conscience is our thoughts, our ability to understand the past, present, future. I'll show you a quick part, one more thing. We say that we have a neshama yisera on Shabbos. I'm sure in the Olam HaKabbalah there's a lot of depth and profundity to it. Frankly, I don't understand much of that. But I'll share with you a small level which I do understand. Maybe. On a nigla level. If I would say to you, take your right hand, put up in the air, and put the right finger up in the air, like this, point to yourselves. Unless you had your arm on the table, the overwhelming majority of people point to their chest, not their eye, not their eyebrow, not their pinky toe. No, it's like, here I am. Right in the ear. So when you ask yourself who you are, what do you mean? Like if I would replace both your arms and give you different arms, would it still be you? Absolutely, right? It would just be you with different arms. Harriet Kaplan has a piece like this in a book called... one of his books. Blanking on the title. If I replaced your arms and your legs and gave you someone else's arms and legs, would it still be you? Yeah, just different arms and legs. Let's say I replaced your entire body. You ever see these movies like Freaky Friday where, like, you know, the mother switches with the daughter and the police officer switches with the robber and probably the black guy switches with the white guy and, like, finally, the mother gets to see a daughter's perspective and the daughter gets to see a mother's perspective and the white guy gets to see the black guy's perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have these type of... So, what would you say? Would you say that's you? If it's someone else's body entirely, what would you say? Is that you? So the answer is, I think most people would say, it is me, it's just not my body. It's someone else's body, it's me in here. So what's that me? It's probably a soul. What do you mean by soul? What do you mean when you say that? Neshama. I'm not talking about nefesh, ruach, whatever. On some level, soul. What does that mean? By the way, I think it's pshat in shehechezarta. Shehechezarta v'neshmasi. What do you gain that you don't have overnight? When you're sleeping, you lose something. When you're awake, you have something. What is that neshama that's returned? I think it's control over consciousness. When you're at night, you have much less confident consciousness and certainly no control over it. Certainly no control over your consciousness at night. You know, you're dreaming about something and like you're driving in a fire truck and then like a few minutes later you're flying in the sky and you have no idea how you got there, nor does that question even bother you, which just kind of makes sense, you know, like then all of a sudden, like, you know, you're at home and your mother's cooking you dinner and like, you know, like what happened to, like, I was just in the sky, did I land? Like, you don't even wonder, did I land? Like, whatever's going on, like, you dream, like, it, those are not kashas, like, you know, no sequence is like totally fine. What is shechazar to be nishmasi? What is in the neshama? So I think in the neshama, if I would tell you, you lost all of your memory, like amnesia, you have no recollection of anything, would that still be you? Yeah, but less. Right? When you lose your body, it's still you in a different body. When you lose your recollection, it still is you, but a little different. And let's say instead of heading this path in life, you alter your life entirely. You flip out in Israel and you become forever, who knows what. Now you have a totally different path in life. Is that still you? The answer is... well, yeah, but you changed. It's a different you. And lastly, if you change all your personality, you change all your qualities, you change your, you know, instead of being kind, you become unkind, friendly, unfriendly. You become the exact opposite. Is that you? Yeah, but a little different. I think who we are is our consciousness of our past, present, and future. And in terms of Neshama Yisera, one of the major goals on Shabbos is to stop and reflect last week who I am in order to move on to the next week. That's one of the major goals of Shabbos. God didn't rest because he was tired after 6 days. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to rest. None of that stuff is true. The Emes Yaakov points out there's a difference between batala and menucha. Batala is wasting time. Menucha is resting. We value that. God rests on Shabbos. Why? God sets up the paradigm so we can follow him and rest on the exact same way. God created for 6 days straight and stopped creating. And by the way, that's why Malach is Asar on Shabbos and not Avoda. The goal is to stop creating, not stop working. You can lift up heavy things, but you can't turn on lights. All the Malachas have finished through that. It's Chach, each one of them. It's creative. It's innovative. It's new. It's more. Shabbos, God stopped creating, and that's what we do on Shabbos, reflected on what he did the last 6 days in order to move forward and progress with the world. And that's what we do as well, and if that's the case, that might be what Neshama Yisera is on a Pshat level. The opportunity to take more advantage of reflecting on last week, reflecting on who you are, in order to embrace next week more. That may be what consciousness is, maybe what the Neshama is, etc., etc. Give me one sec.
He's a few couple more lines which really capture what he says. I didn't photocopy them, but he says, "Hayotze midvareinu she'en bechira ella v'nekunas habechira." The only free choice you really have is this particular point in time. He explains that Adam Harishon gained, well, Adam Harishon before the Eifin Eitz last Tovara, Adam had the capacity of being Emes and Sheker. Adam made an intellectual flaw and thought he would understand more. I remember once I had a conversation with Meir Tversky Shlita. Moi Varebi Meir Tversky Shlita. Once we were talking about the Rabbeinu Bechaya. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, angels sometimes sin. There's a Medrash Rashi quotes it. The pasuk says, "But the angels came to stone." It says, "Ki meshchisim anachnu et hamakom hazeh." So Rashi Chazal critique him. Meshchisim anachnu? You think your God's doing it? So you may ask, how do angels sin? So Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, "What's the big? Why can't they sin? They don't sin because they don't have free choice. All the emes and sheker." He's like, "What's the big deal? Adam before the Eitz of Rav was a being of emes and sheker. He sinned." And you wonder, did you answer the question or just raise another one in my head? So I suggested to Rav Meir Tversky, I said, "Rabbi, maybe you can suggest there are two types of sins. There's one where you maliciously disobey. You try your best to do the wrong thing. And then there's another type of sin where you don't disobey. You don't, but just, you make an intellectual miscalculation." I said, "It could be Adam would never, without a Yetzer Hara, of Tovah Ra, would never have maliciously disobeyed, but it could be he made a miscalculation." And he responded and said, he didn't think so. God was pretty clear when he said, "Don't eat from the Eitz Das Tovah Ra." And I said, "Maybe not." Later on I said this. I walked away and I said, "Okay, makes sense." But maybe Adam really had an unclarity. That's what spells it out more clearly. Maybe Adam really had an unclarity. In other words, you can make an intellectual mistake, after all, as long as, even if you're being of Emes and Sheker, you're not the same being as Emes and Sheker as God is. He's the ultimate Emes. Your Emes is infinitely less, therefore there's room for mistake. It could be Adam sat and thought and had a real challenge. On the one hand, he had to do what God said. On the other hand, having Yetzer Hara would mean you can fight and struggle and etc., etc. Now Adam made a mistake. And the goal, according to Rav Dessler, I believe, is for Klal Yisrael nationally and individuals individualistically to help undo the original sin, so to speak, help us perfect ourselves by raising this Nekudas HaBechira higher and higher and higher and higher until eventually we return back to the ultimate religious goal, which probably happens to Chesed Meis or something like that, where we come back. You know, we're ready for that. But in any event, I wanted just to conclude with those of you who are learning Gemara with incredible Hasma, Dashrach Matovlach, those who are learning Halacha with incredible Hasma, Dashrach Matovlach, those who are learning Chumash with Dashrach Matovlach, those who have no more time in your day, that's great also. But if you do have time, if you like Fridays or Shabbos, it's worthwhile to open up some of the Sifrei Machshava. And on Rav Yadari's Yard said, it's a great time to remind ourselves, mischazak ourselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is more than just Gemara, more than just Dinim, more than even just the book he wrote. But the philosophy, the ideology, the thought of Machshavas HaTorah, something Rav Yadari was a Gon Olam, and Mamish, one of the Gedolim in Machshava. To read Sfarim that he would read and learn and teach, whether it's his Torah or Torah that reflects his Torah, certainly something valuable. Glad we had the opportunity to spend a good 45 minutes or so doing so. I think there's about 15 more minutes or so until the next stage of the program. Unless, am I right about that? What time is dinner? 6:50. So if anyone wants to continue along the lines of this Torah or other Torah, it's a wonderful thing to do.